verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And now we are 1, 2, 3, 4, 6. And we are in the fifth one out of the Beatitudes. So it is blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And those who show mercy to others, then they will also obtain mercy before the Lord. It is something like when we forgive our sins, forgive other debtors, then the Lord will also forgive ours. And this is also looking or written in the same way. But when we need to understand what is mercy. In the scripture, we see two terms very extensively used in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament. And one is called grace, and it is in Greek, it is called charis. And second one is mercy, which is in Greek called eleos. And the word grace is what God shows to the people, those who are not in a position to come out on their own from their guilt and sin. And the Lord shows grace, and though they are not worthy of that one, it is a characteristic of God to open the way for his creation to come back unto him, and the sins and whatever the distance and the gulf happened because of that sin, that he wants to bring them out of that. And for that, whatever is required, that he would also do from his side, and invites the people to come out of that guilt and sin, and he forgives that everything. And that characteristic, man will not be able to show to do that function. And it is only God who can really do that. He can do that. And he did that because when God sent his only begotten son, and he has brought full of grace and truth to us. That means the sins, whatever it may be, as red as a scarlet, but they will all be forgiven. And there is no powerful sin which cannot be blotted out by the power of the holiness of our blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. So wherever it is grace used, then we need to be careful about that. And people use it many times and saying to another person that is not proper word to use. And that is exclusively meant for God showing to the humans, to all of us. But there is another word which we now, on the portion which we read, is called mercy. And blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. Mercy is also God's character, which is because of that fallen nature and the sin which is still in a man's life, and it is slowly the believers are overcoming that power, from the power of the sin, by allowing his son to live in us because of that power. But whatever the sins we have committed, and also out of ignorance when we commit some, and sometimes after knowing also we commit some, these sins, after we become believers, whatever is there in our lives, and those sins have some consequences. And those consequences also brings some miseries, some sorrows, some griefs, some problems, and some kind of a discipline. In those actions, to alleviate from the misery of the consequences of the sins, what God shows to us is called mercy. So the nature of the sin is dealt by God because of his grace. The consequences of the sins are whatever the consequences of the sins by which we all have miseries in our lives are elevated by the nature of God's character called grace, mercy. So when we are using, we need to be careful in both. And whenever it is a nature of the very fundamental sin, the nature in us, sin, that is always we should seek God's grace upon us to come out of that nature of sin. And whatever the consequences of sins which we have committed, and sometimes because of the nature of the sin we committed, and they run for a long time. For example, in the time of David, and what he did with Bathsheba's husband, and also then Bathsheba, that all those consequences in his lifetime for a long time ran. And in all those things, David sought mercy of the Lord. Though God forgave the sin, but the miseries of the consequences of the sin has been in the mercies of God, he has taken shelter. So in our life also, when we examine, those things will appear and come up in our lives. And we, many times that we have to pay those prices. In my life, then whatever I have committed, sometimes I have, you know, willfully committed, sometimes in my ignorance I committed, the Lord has dealt both, and I had to go through a lot, and God acted in his mercy in paying the price of those consequences. And also, he has shown me mercy in healing those things. So now, once we have experienced what is that mercy in coming out of that consequences of those sins, by the mercies of the Lord alleviated from that misery, and when after experiencing that character from God in us, then when we show it to the others in their problems, in their griefs, in their sorrows, and whatever the consequences or the miseries of the consequences of the sins they committed, then when we have a right approach towards those brethren, and that is called showing mercy towards others. Blessed are those merciful, that means manifesting the character of mercy towards those brothers and sisters and also others because of the miseries of the consequences of the sins in their lives. So that is what we need to understand in for applying that word in our lives. But a human nature is this: though I commit a sin, and when because of that sin, sins, the consequences, miseries of the consequences of those sins, when God has shown me mercy, and I tend to forget them. But when it comes to any other person, then I behave as if I have almost never committed that. And then I go in a different direction in dealing with those people. That is what which really we tend to behave in that manner. That is why we don't show forth that kind of a nature towards the other people. But if anybody has got such kind of a heart, and remember that how God has helped him in all his miseries, and God has forgiven and helped him to come out, and he has very gently, tenderly shown care even in those griefs and sorrows, then if we can really show forth to the other brethren, and when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, he will also measure in the same measure, the way now we are measuring with our brothers and sisters in dealing with them and in their griefs and sorrows. So when the way we apply our life principle between God and us, with the same measure, if we have to show forth to the others, and many times so there is a, after experiencing such a wonderful mercies from the Lord, but it is not with the same measure we show forth to other people. That is there inherently in all of us. So the Lord wanted to show forth what we have experienced from the Lord to the other people. Then we see that where the Lord will show that in the book of Titus, chapter 3, verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Chapter 3, verse 5. According to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. So this is what God has shown to us is Paul writing to Titus. And also we see in book of Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So both the words are used in this verse, very nicely fitted. So he was encouraging us when the children of Israel ate the way they failed to enter into the promised land or the promised rest, which is still waiting for the children of God in the New Testament. And he said, let us therefore come boldly. That means it is a frankness in speaking. So it is, that is the meaning of that. And whatever is our heart condition, either a nature of sin which we are not able to overcome, or the miseries of the consequences of the sin which we are not able to be properly come out of those things. So to find both that the Lord is, the writer was encouraging us to come to the throne of grace to speak boldly or with frankness before the Lord, that we may obtain mercy. So that all the miseries of the consequences that the Lord may alleviate us. And we may obtain grace so that we may find grace so that by which nature of sin still we are stuck in the mud in particular aspects of the character, that he may show forth grace to bring us out. The consequences and also the nature both. Then the Lord is showing forth that the Lord may help us.
I just explained on two things. So one is grace and another one is mercy. So I just wanted to go with you all that whether that was found okay and you did got it or get it or you need some more explanation or if you have any questions on that.
Wherever humanly we cannot complete the nature of the God in us, so the nature of work in us, there we need the grace of God to complete those works in us.
Yeah.
But some other things we can do by humanly, but still we fail to do, then we ask God to show mercy, to change my character and improve next time. And forgiveness, ask for forgiveness also.
All the time changing the nature from the sinfulness which is in all of us, to come out of that is always grace. But the measure is of the consequences of the sins committed. Those where God shows mercy to bear those miseries to come out. So that is the difference.
Brother, can we put it this way? Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, I can.
Mercy is in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. Mercy, it's always the mercy seat and the mercy of God and everything. It's unmerited favor which he has shown for the forgiveness of our sins. And grace, as I understand, is a New Testament word. We are under grace. Grace is something, he gives us that grace how to overcome the sin. So mercy is something, the forgiveness of sins. Because the life of a New Testament is not only difficult, but is really impossible to live. Because he says not only we need to avoid sin, we need to hate it. And hating sin as human nature is really impossible. Somewhere or the other, knowingly, unknowingly. You'll never hate sin to the core. Or you may avoid it, but sometimes or the other you will go through. So to overcome that sin, even to overcome that temptation, grace is given. So mercy is for forgiveness of sins, and grace is helping you to overcome the sin. Is that okay? I mean,
that is not okay, sister.
No.
What you said is only half regarding grace is right.
Okay.
But the mercy is, where the mercy is coming out is when after becoming a believer and when we have committed certain things, and some of them are sins of omission, some of them are sins of commission. And those things have some consequences.
Right.
And those consequences also yield some miseries in our lives.
Right.
And who is going to alleviate from those miseries and deals with us gently and go through with the care and in a proper manner to be healed?
The mercy of God.
Where the mercy comes in.
Yeah.
And to change the nature of us, the sinful nature, or to come out of the sinful nature, it is always grace. Are the results of the sins committed, and whatever the miseries the man lands in, while dealing with that and while coming of that miseries, whatever the God shows to us, the kindness, goodness, and to give some kind of a strength to bear it and come out, is all mercy. So in the Old Testament is an example that David, knowingly that he has committed, he plotted the killing of Uriah, and then he went into his wife. Then you see the chaotic situation which prevailed in the family. He couldn't do anything and he couldn't control Joab. Then all those things he went through, but in that one, what God, David enjoyed or God showed him was the mercy.
Right.
Yeah. So in our life, and I told my life also, then whatever I have committed and did contrary to the will of God and to fulfill my the old nature, and those sometimes it has been very heavy and it took long time, but God was merciful. God is merciful to me. And wherever I knew that this is not right, I did it. Sometimes knowingly, sometimes ignorantly, then when the consequences came upon, I just pleaded for the mercies of the Lord to deal with the consequences, to deal with the very nature which I committed. That is always I went for grace to the Lord. So to deal with a sin to in any other brother, none of us can do anything. But while dealing with the miseries of the consequences of the sin, then we can show forth that tenderness, care, compassion towards the brothers and sisters with a heart that we can pray that the Lord will show mercy to him to come out of those miseries, whatever they are going through.
Yeah, true. Because forgiveness of sins, nobody can do, right? I mean,
yeah. That is why the forgiveness of sins is always with the grace.
Yeah.
So, brother,
yeah.
A small question. So, if we are to be merciful, as the yes. Father is merciful, so what we are saying is that we, when we are being merciful, we are more being compassionate towards the sin of the brother or the sister, because we cannot do anything.
That's right.
To remove the sin from the brother or sister.
Yeah.
But by the grace of God, we are showing the compassion towards yes. that brother. So that is being merciful.
That's right.
Okay.
For example, in Matthew chapter 18, there was a forgiving a debt. So the king forgave the lost debt of a man.
Yeah.
But that man immediately came out and started troubling a man who owed very pennies.
Yeah.
But that man, after tasting the mercies of the king and tasted the kindness and the compassionate heart of the king, he never had a heart to show same thing towards his fellow servant. So that is what I was talking, that humanly, whatever we have tasted of the Lord, we soon forget about it and tend to behave with others differently as if we are fully wonderful, perfect people. And that is the tragedy of us, pathetic situation, heart of us. So you need to be always remember, like what we read yesterday, that all the iniquities of our secret sins are in front of your eyes. Your eyes.
Hello, Uncle. I understood the difference between mercy and grace clearly.
Mm-hmm.
But can you explain me again of Hebrews 4:16?
Yeah, we'll go back to that verse. I'm reading that verse again. Book of Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So now, what I spoke was boldly. The word here is paresia or frankness in speaking. So there it means not that kind of a confidence you are speaking to God when you come to the throne of grace. But it means freely saying all that one thinks, all that he pleases. That means it is a frankness of the heart when we are coming before the Lord. And when you come before the Lord, then there are two things he said. We for obtaining mercy and find grace. So it is something, and both are also different words used before those mercy and grace.
That's the confusing.
Grace, then we will find it. And obtaining mercy, it is because of his nature he may show forth to us based upon the frankness and our honesty of our heart shown before the Lord. So now in this chapter, we see there are people that who were supposed to enter into the promised land, but they failed. And they failed because in Psalms in 78 we see they have really not considered valuable that pleasant land. And also they did not exercise faith with the word which they have heard.
Okay.
And because of that, the miseries have followed and they circled in the wilderness for 40 years.
Okay.
But in the wilderness, while they were circling, and he has shown mercy by providing food and water and protection from the enemies. And every day, the way the merciful Father leads their children, he has led them.
Mm-hmm.
And now in the New Testament, as we are still the promise of entering into the rest is available and waiting for all of us. And the promise here is that when we go there, if there is any of that nature, the nature which is shown forth here in chapter verse 12, chapter 3, verse 12, 13 to 15, 12 to 15. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 to 15. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, which is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts in provocation. So either in not hardening or not entering into the deceitfulness of sin or an evil heart of unbelief, in all these things, the consequences which they have entered in. If something of that nature has already working in us, then we should ask the Lord, Lord, be merciful, whatever the consequences of my unbelief or hardened heart or an evil heart is I am landed in, that show mercy to me. But to overcome the sin itself, if I am struggling, then I must go to the Lord to find grace before the throne of grace.
Can you repeat it, Uncle? The last sentence?
To come out of the nature of sin itself, that we go to the throne of grace to find grace. But the things which I have seen, that hardening of, because of our hearts are hardened, in our Christian life, whatever the things which we have committed and entered into some miseries so far. Or that deceitfulness of sin, which we have ignored before and landed in some problems because of that what we committed. To come out of all those miseries, we go to the Lord to obtain mercy. But whatever that hardening of heart or the deceitfulness of sin, the basic fundamental thing, the nature of the sin which still lied, to handle that nature, we go to throne of grace to find grace.
Yeah, got it, uncle.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Shall we move further or what we need to do? We have some more questions here, then we can do
so
that.
Brother, in a simplistic way to put it, the blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. So
yes.
How do we conclude this in a simple way?
I am coming to that point again. I will explain.
Okay, brother.
How do we do that?
Okay.
But if this is clear, then we can move further.
Yes, is, otherwise it's clear that mercy and grace is clear.
I am putting breaks again and again. That is why. Then we will go to Book of James, if it is clear. Book of James, chapter 3, verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits. So that merciful nature. So the example I gave you in Matthew chapter 18, the servant who was forgiven a large debt, but he did not have a heart to show the same kind of compassion to his fellow servant. But if a man receives wisdom from above, it is contrary to the nature of the wisdom which we obtain in this world. The worldly wisdom makes the man perfect. But the divine wisdom which is coming from above is something very peaceful. It will not boastful. It is not boastful. And then it goes on, gentle, easy to be entreated, and full of mercy. So that means there is no gap. The way a person is supposed to deal with another brother, and that wisdom supplies to deal with that situation and with that brother or sister, with anybody. And that means when you wanted to function in that kind of a nature towards the other fellow brothers and also with other humans, the nature which we don't have that one. What is that we have? I will show you that also. And here, that is only coming from the Lord. And that person will be able to show forth full of mercy. And that is what we should ask the Lord. Lord, I would like to enjoy the mercies what you have shown to me. And also, I would like to show forth to my brothers and sisters and also others. So when we are dealing with other people, those who have ignorantly committed sin, and as we read in Book of Hebrews chapter 5, the high priestly ministry, I will read that verse also. Book of Hebrews chapter 5, verse 2. Who can have compassion on the ignorant, on them that are out of the way, that he himself is also compassionate with infirmity? So that high priest always remembers that he also has the infirmity, and he also has the nature of sin, and he also has the tendency to commit sin. So when he is taking the pleadings of the other brethren before the throne of God, that he always remembers, and it is not that he remembers the sin what they have committed or whatever the things which they have, but he pleads with a new heart as if very earnestly pleads for those brothers and sisters before the throne of grace. And what is that meaning of ignorant is, and if it is said in have compassion means have a moderate in his feelings. Not, that means he is not harsh. So he understands what is the nature of a man and how he has failed and the consequences of those sins, and he pleads with them in a such a manner. And book of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. Wherefore, in all things in it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Our Lord's ministry is also the same. And in the Old Testament, what the Aaron and the following priests did, that it is the same. Now, those who are called to be a minister to kings and priests in the coming dispensation, and God wanted to have a heart of mercy, so that they may deal with the brothers and sisters and others with a gentle heart, with a tenderness, with full of mercy, by receiving the wisdom from above. Then only our nature is always reminded, and we tend to behave with the other brothers, those who are in need, in a manner that they will have comfort, so that the Lord may show mercies and they will be healed soon and come out of all those miseries. So when we don't have the wisdom from above, with our wisdom, or when we are trying to analyze the situation and what to do, what not to do, then that always misses the needed character of mercy in dealing with our brothers and sisters. Then David has experienced this nature from God, and he wrote in Psalm, book of Psalms, chapter 18. Psalms 18, verse 25. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. So when I am merciful to my fellow people, then the Lord is going to be merciful unto me. So the verse which we read now in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, blessed are those merciful, and they will find mercy, they will obtain mercy. And that is what was the experience of David. When he had an opportunity to take revenge against his enemies, he did not do that. And he did let him go. But when he committed something, and the Lord showed him the same kind of mercy towards David. And actually, for the sin which he has committed by killing Uriah, you should have dead. But when Nathan came, then he said, your sin is forgiven. Because David has manifested that kind of a nature towards his enemy. And he obtained mercy in the sight of the Lord. And there is another thing in the book of James we see besides this one. This is what we have seen, that who will be able to show that full of mercy is the one who has received wisdom from above. And one who received the wisdom from above, then we tend to behave the way the Lord is performing the high priestly ministry in heaven. And those who are called to be the kings and priests, in their prayers towards the brothers and sisters, without having any kind of a reservation, open up their hearts and plead as the way in the Old Testament, the priests, and in the New Testament, those who are all called for the ministry of the priests. That means we all, there is no differentiation. We all need to have that one. And the book of James chapter 2, verse 13. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath shown no mercy, that mercy rejoiceth against judgment. So James was an apostle and half-brother of our Lord Jesus Christ. And other apostles after the Lord's resurrection had gone beyond Judea, but in Jerusalem church, the James remained. And he wrote this epistle. And in his epistle, we also see that his focus towards mostly towards the Jewish people, and he addresses them. And in the Old Testament, there is no mercy. It is the judgment. And in the judgment, if the man was found guilty, then he has to pay the price. But in the New Testament, same James writes, mercy rejoiceth over judgment. That means you don't judge, but you show mercy and let it go. And also, if possible, you take care of that. Then he said, suppose you don't deal with the brother with mercy, and you want to deal with a heart of judgment. That is also possible in the New Testament. But though it is not acceptable, but many of us practice that way because of thinking that we are very right than many other people. So since I have not committed that nature of sin or consequence, those sins, I am in a position to judge these who have committed those sins. But if I do that one, the Lord is warning me that the Lord will also deal with me with the same kind of judgment. So I will not find mercy on the day when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So the way I open up my heart to accept my brother in his condition, to receive him, to strengthen him, to encourage him, and to see as the way God looks at him when he truly confesses his sins and we show forth that honesty to come out of those miseries, then I need to have a heart to accept that brother wholeheartedly. Then on the day of the judgment, whatever the things which are not known to me and I committed, otherwise the Lord would have brought into the judgment and accordingly he would have judged me, because I have shown mercy and shown forth that attribute, then the Lord would also show mercy on those on that day in my failures. Book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 6. So I'm reading from verses 35 to 38. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. 36. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father is also merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. So, either showing forth, helping the enemies, or showing being merciful, or forgiving others, he said, all these three things, what we read from 35 to 37, give, it shall be given unto you. It is not giving money. Any of these things, or all these three things, showing forgiveness of sin, or forgiving the brethren, or being merciful, or not judging, when we do, give it out to the other people, and he said, it shall be given unto you, good measure, press it down, shaken together, and running over. So when you measure in a bushel, either a grain or a pulses, there is always some gap because of the grains are not properly packed. So you shake it so that they will sit compactly. That means you can put little more on it. And also overflowing, not to the top, but over the top of it, whatever it has still can hold, that also you put it. So that means whatever the opportunity is there, you don't get stopped in between. You measure it full, shake it, then you top it off. So to that way you continue showing forth towards your enemies, or wherever you have the opportunity to show forth the mercy, or not condemning and receiving them, and not judging and accepting them. All those things you continue and give it. And you will also be given the same manner. Suppose you, in a bushel, you measure off, and then you say, no, this is not going to work out, I cannot continue like this. then you will also be measured in the same manner. You put it to the top, then you will be measured in the same manner. If you shake it and then top it and put it overflowing, in the similar manner, when we stand before the Lord, because of that opportunities which we have used fully, the nature which we have received from the Lord, to be called as the children of the highest, then the Lord will also show forth the same kind of thing to us. Then you imagine, when we have to do that, anything which is of our old nature is still shooting forth and making us to think towards the people, we will never be able to do that. Unless a man in his old nature is crucified, the newness of the wisdom which received from the heavens is overflowing, then we will be able to show full of mercy towards the people. Then otherwise, when we should remember that the way we measure now, the same way it will be measured unto us. So if we remember that verse, then many of our words then which we utter, either in public or private towards the other people, that all will be put to naught. That all will be gone from our heart and also from our mouth. Sometimes with no reason also we just condemn. And instead of the opportunity to show forth mercy and help them, encourage them to come out or alleviate from the misery, then many times we actually add misery to misery in the people's lives. That is called the heart of judgment. We should remember the same measure he will measure us. Then finally, book of 2 Timothy chapter 1. So before I read, you hold on to that 2 Timothy chapter 1. I will read one verse from the Old Testament, that is from Proverbs chapter 14, verse 31. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 31. He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. Or in my translation, it is different that I am reading that one. He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that hath mercy on the needy honoreth him. So if anyone showeth mercy on the needy people, he is honoring or glorifying the Creator God. But whosoever oppressing the poor, it is actually reproaching the maker. But when you have the character of mercy is in you, that you will not reproach them, but actually whatever the help you can do, you will do it, and that is the sign of honoring the Creator God. Because the rich and poor both were created by God. When we are taking care of the needs of the people, that means we are actually honoring God. So in the 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 16 to 18, the Lord gave mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. So he was talking about while he was in a prison, there is a brother called Onesiphorus, and who came and visited him, and he was not ashamed of my chains, because now he was in the house arrest as a prisoner, but that was not considered as a good standing in the society. But this brother did not consider that as something that he need to refrain visiting Paul, but he has made a trip to him. And verse 17, but when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. So I guess he, once he came to Rome, it is not that he has sought. Means that he wanted to, he searched and he made some effort to find him. So it was that appears, it was not that looking easy for him to go and straight away meet him in where Paul was lodged. Then when he sought, he found, and diligently, he sought me out very diligently. That means it is a very careful endeavor to find Paul where he is and how to reach him. And if there was any difficulty in the beginning, and he is not truthful and honest in his heart, he would have gone. Because he would say that I made an attempt, but it was not possible, so I returned. No, he did not do so. But he diligently sought him and found him. And we also see in verse 16, and the Lord gave mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus. So when he came from wherever the place he visited, Rome, and behind him, there is a work of his household also. It was not him alone. So his wife and children, as a family, that they must have made something for him, or collected something for him, or they had expressed their concern, and accordingly he must have brought something to meet the needs of the Paul in that prison cell. And not him alone, but the whole household. So that means that was the nature of that house, to find the opportunity where they can really honor God by helping the people who are in need. Then Paul was writing in verse 18, the Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. So when he stand before the Lord on that day, that he may find mercy. See now, in an assembly, that we have opportunities to deal with the brothers and sisters, not with a judgmental heart, not condemning, but receiving and accepting and show forth mercy. And also in the assembly or outside the assembly, when there are people whereby we can honor God by mindful of their needs and taking care of their needs, and the whole household, when we really be an example to the other people, then that household also will find mercy, and that day, in the day of the Lord. So it was a blessed privilege. What we can do to others, those who are in need. And it is a great opportunity to share and express our concern, and seeking diligently and to find and meeting their needs. There was actually no need for the Onesiphorus to go to Rome to find, to diligently seeking him, find him, and do the things what he wanted to do for Paul. So we don't find those kind of people very often. So when we have those kind of, that is what the Lord is interested to encourage us, that we may understand and allow that kind of mercifulness to prosper in all of us, and show forth and dealing with one another in that manner, with others, and also need in the assembly and also outside, both ways. Mm-hmm. The Lord will bless us, and the real blessing is there upon those people.
Uncle, I have one question.
Yes.
So after knowing the Lord, so if a person commits a sin and they know that they have committed sin, they are merciful to others and God will be merciful to us, but we have to go through the consequences yes. for the sanctification reasons. There are sins of omission, like I should have done something, but I did not do it.
You did not do it because after knowing, or you did not know that.
Yeah. So there are two things. So one is that. Yeah. One thing is in ignorance. So after knowing the Lord, without knowing, if I committed something,
Mm-hmm.
So for that, and I knew it and I did not do something that I should have done it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a person.
Yeah,
so for these things, I will find mercy before the Lord. I will obtain the mercy at the judgment seat of Christ, or when I'm here. I don't know. I mean, how to take it. But in all cases, suppose that person is merciful to others. So what happens in the last two cases?
So we will go one by one, because you have asked two questions in one. One is, we have committed some sins without our knowledge. You don't know that that was not supposed to be done, but you have committed.
Yeah.
And we have recently also explained that. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Okay.
So there you are not confessing. You don't know. But you are walking in other areas of your life in the light with the Lord as Lord is in the light. So that means walking in the light means whatever the understanding you have, that you are honestly, truthfully learning to walk with the Lord.
That's right.
In that life, in that walk, whatever you have not known the sin and committed, those sins will be, because the Lord will undertake that, because you don't know them.
Okay.
When it is made known to you at a later date, when you confess, the Lord will undertake that also.
Okay.
And the sins which you have committed knowingly, when you confess them, the Lord will forgive. In verse 9, if you confess your sin, he is faithful.
Yeah.
Forgive us. So in verse 7, there is no confession because you don't know them.
Right.
In verse 9, it is confession because you know them.
That's right.
Yeah. So when you confess, also he will forgive you. So forgiveness of sin, because of his grace, it is always applicable. Whatever the sin you committed. Sins of omission, sins of commission, both. But the consequences of those sins, what we have knowingly committed, and those consequences are, most of the times, are filled with miseries. Because that is not of the Lord. It is coming from our physical, soul, and because of those things, then we need to pay the price. And we have to pay. While dealing with those things, those miseries, God will continue to show forth mercy. When you go to the Lord and plead with him, this I have done, and now this is the problem which I landed in. Will you show forth thy grace, goodness? Joab told David not to count the number of the army of the Israelites. Israel committed. David has gone ahead and counted the number. But the Lord came, and punishment came upon him. He said, Lord is merciful. It is better for me to fall in the hand of God than to fall in the hand of a man. He paid the price.
Yeah.
While the plague is going on, when he has offered a sacrifice on the threshing floor of Ornan, the plague stopped. That was the mercy of God. So the committed sin, knowingly, the consequence of the sin, the plague came, and the mercy shown, it should have continued, and more number of deaths should have been occurred.
Yeah.
But the angel of the Lord appeared and told that if you offer a sacrifice, the plague will stop. He offered. That is the merciful act of God, to come out of the misery of the consequence of the sin which David committed.
Uncle, can you give one example for the sins of omission?
So sins of omission, you mean that sins we don't know that we committed?
Sins of omission is, I think, I should have done something, but I did not do it.
In each one's life, when many things we know, for example, showing forth mercy, we know that we should be merciful to the others, But oftentimes that is not the case. We respond with the other people and with the needy people, and by Onesimus, by bearing the reproach, and he went and visited him, because that was the act of honoring the needy people. That was mercy. But many times our lives are so much filled with our problems with ourself, so much, and we are not in a position to come out of little bit and see what else I can do for others. So those are all many things in everyday life, which those actually are more what we should have done, but we don't do.
Okay, thank you.
Every time when we examine, it will know, we will know.
Thank you, Uncle.
So if you have any other brothers and sisters have any questions, we can go. Otherwise, we can...
There is one verse in Lamentations 3:51.
Mm.
It says that things that I've seen, well, I'll just read in KJV.
Lamentations
3:61.
Mine eye affected mine heart because of all the daughters of my city.
Yeah. So the challenge is, here is the man. His heart has been affected because he saw things. But if I don't even care to look at the things, then obviously my heart will not be affected. Like, my heart will not be filled with mercy if I don't look at it. Choose to look at people who are in misery, people who are not doing well. But if I try, choose to look at, you know, the judgment lies saying I'm better, then I'll never ever see the person the way God has seen me.
Yeah.
And here, this is a very good example. This man of God, he saw the way God has seen, and then that's where we see his experience. You know, it's actually KJV says that my eyes affected my heart, but in other translations they diluted the meaning.
Mm.
My eyes bring suffering to my soul, but the what you read it is it's a very correct way to understand. And you just said, you know, if I'm so much busy with my own self and my eyes are looking into my own life, and I don't even see the other's need, you know. I think that's also one of the challenge that we face in this self-sufficient world, or, you know, self-centered world. I can examine myself, and that is the case many times. But it's this man of God, we see that he chose to see the things of the Lord. You know, then his heart got affected, and then he prayed to the Lord.
Yeah, even if we are not in a position to help, like Onesiphorus,
but
if we have a heart of that nature, so you will always, God will give you opportunity in your resources, whatever you can do. So that is what is the important thing, is your heart. Then smaller, greater opportunities according to the resources and the strength the Lord will continue to offer and open. When I don't have any heart, then I will not find any opportunity also to meet the needs of the people by showing forth mercy. But we should all remember what we read in book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 6. The way you measure, it will be measured unto you.